There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome into College Football Live alongside Andre Ware, who has won the Heisman Trophy, and Greg McElroy, who has seen the Heisman Trophy. I am Matt Schick. We begin, though, with a duo that is taking college football by a storm, an award-winning duo taking a tour of college football, 7 schools in 7 days for Maria Taylor and Holly Rowe on the appropriately named Taylor Road Trip from Oregon to Georgia and now to Clemson, the reigning national champs, winners of 2 of the last 3 titles. Holly and Maria join us now. We just saw a quick glimpse there, some of the sights and the sounds of your trip in Death Valley. What have we gleaned here? What have we learned from our latest stop?
Well, first of all, Schick, we'll wait for you to come up with an award that someone would actually give us for doing what we're doing here. Right now, Clemson, you know, they had their third practice yesterday. They were only in shells, and tonight they'll practice again, and they'll actually start putting on full pads tomorrow. But one of the big things that we've noticed, or a question mark, obviously, that you would have coming into Clemson is what happens when that 2015 class is gone, all the leadership that was guys like Christian Wilkins. And they were a very big group, and now you have over 40 players on the team that are just freshmen and sophomores. So there's a lot to be learned, a lot to understand, and a lot that Dabo's working with right now as they get through camp.
And one of the things that Dabo is trying to talk to them about is, yes, our program has established that dominance. They've won 2 of the 3 last national championships, but nobody on this team has won anything this year. They are starting from scratch. He believes their theme for the year is Carpe Diem, seize the day today. And in January, things will work out well. And he believes in a lot of signs that are pointing in the right direction.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. That's the best reaction we've gotten the whole time.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to see y'all.
Maddie, you had the picture of, I think, Trevor with the rainbow right behind him. It was amazing.
I saw that last night, yeah.
Can't have a rainbow without any sunshine. You can't have a rainbow without some rain, too.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what practice is about, you know? Just grinding it up. And so it's been a good few days.
And I just wanted to know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how awkward is it that we currently have the same hairstyle?
I heard that from a few people.
Yours is a little swoopier than mine, though. How do you get that swoop?
I don't know. Shampoo it. I probably wash my hair too much, but I wash like every day.
Give some examples of how you've shown that leadership already.
I think just like little things, like showing the guys that care about them. Being a servant leader is a big thing in our room that we talk about a lot. And also, I've had the linemen over once for, you know, cook them some burgers and just kind of hang out and do stuff outside of here. I've been trying to do things like that.
How many pounds of meat is required?
And did you do the actual cooking? Were you the servant leader?
I got a little grill, so I was grilling them. Made like 24 burgers, and it was only like 10 of us, so they were eating.
And you had one.
So. Yeah.
It's hard to believe Trevor Lawrence is a true sophomore coming in off a national championship performance, but he has tried to work on his game. Dabo Sweeney has an exit interview with every player, kind of gives them their orders moving forward through the spring and summer, and some of the things that Trevor was working on, footwork. He wants to be able to extend plays longer and better for this Clemson offense, and he said, you know, I want to work on some of my mechanics. He was dropping his arm a little bit too much late in the season. So a lot of things that he's trying to build on for that sophomore season, but he's got so much to work with here that puts him in a good position to succeed.
It's pretty amazing they get him for 2 more years. Hard to fathom how good he will be at the end of his junior campaign. Ladies, thank you so much, and we'll be looking forward to more from you as your trip continues here on this college football tour. Coming up on Wednesday, they'll be at another college football playoff team, Oklahoma, checking on Jalen Hurts and company before heading to the other side of the Red River with a visit to Texas on Thursday. All right, let's welcome back in Greg and Andre. Let's shift back to the Clemson Tigers, the reigning national champs. Guys, when you take a look at their schedule, according to the preseason coaches poll, and who knows how different the AP will be, but there's only 2 ranked teams that they're going to have on their schedule. It's Texas A&M and Syracuse. They're going to be heavy favorites throughout. Given that fact, Greg, we'll start with you. Can Clemson afford to lose a game with this schedule and still make the playoff? It depends on the optics of the loss, naturally. So if they go out and play like Ohio State did against Purdue last year and lose by 5 touchdowns, or like Ohio State did a couple years ago and lose by 30-plus to Iowa, then, yeah, that's going to be a really difficult loss to overcome. But I also think, too, look, the committee says every single time they put out a ranking, it's a snapshot of what they've seen in college football that season. They're human, guys. At some point, they have to kind of think about historically just how good Clemson's been when put in a playoff scenario. So I think just knowing that Clemson has been there, done that, and been successful in the playoffs, I happen to think they would get the benefit of the doubt if, in fact, they were to drop one. The only reason, Andre, where I could see Clemson not getting into the playoff is if there were 4 undefeated Power 5 conference champions. And I don't think any of us anticipate that.
Yeah, I agree with you in a sense, but I think the earlier the better, so they can lose. Yes would be the answer, but it's earlier in the schedule when they can lose so that you can show the country and the committee that you've bounced back. Maybe there was a player that was hurt that week and you've bounced back and you get to show the remainder of the season what kind of team you really are as you progress through the season, whether it's the A&M week or the Syracuse week that follows. Really, when you look at the schedule realistically, I don't think there's much to it other than those 2 games. There are some teams, NC State has played them tough the last couple of years, but aside from Texas A&M and Syracuse early, Clemson seems to have a path of smooth sailing, so to speak.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they had a loss, if they were compared to another one-loss team that had a tougher schedule, because we've seen it's just number of losses, not necessarily strength of schedule, that's gotten you into the playoff. College football teams taking the field to begin camp, as are high school teams. Art Briles back as head coach. Mount Vernon High School in East Texas. He'd been previously coaching in Italy, unable to get a coaching job in the U.S. since he was fired after an external investigation revealed in May of 2016 that Baylor had for years mishandled numerous sexual assault allegations by students, including some against football players. Here's Art Briles on Monday.
You know, it's honestly not about me. And I mean, like I said, I've been doing this a long time, and if this is the last dance, I'm good with it. You know, I was good with Italy being the last dance, you know. So it's got nothing to do with that. I mean, I would hope that they might maybe could look and just say, you know, maybe if you just keep walking forward, you might have a chance to be looked at with a graciousness someday. And that would be the only thing.
Do you feel like you owe anybody an apology?
If you're asking about Baylor, yeah, that's been addressed in the statement, and so I'm not at liberty to say anything. I wish I could say something about it.
Andre, would you let your kid play for Art Briles?
I'd have no problem allowing my son to play for Art Briles. I think when you look at it, he's shown remorse. He has apologized numerous amounts of times. And when do we as a society get to the point where we get to pick and choose who gets the second chances? He hadn't been convicted. He hadn't gone to jail. I think he honestly deserves a second chance, and he's getting it at Mount Vernon. Those kids will be coached up well. I'm not looking to a college coach to raise my son for me. My son will know the difference between right and wrong, provided he's able to go to a college campus and play either football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is. But I will do that job. His job is to coach the players that he gets, not raise my son. That is my job.
Well, first of all, I don't think he did show a ton of personal accountability throughout everything that happened at Baylor. He was deflective. I don't think he was remorseful to the extent in which he should have been. So I disagree with you, Andre. He will never coach another day in college football, nor should he. But as far as letting my son play for him at the high school level, yeah, I don't have a problem with that to a certain extent, but that's because my son, after he gets done with practice every single day, is going to come home where I am going to keep a close eye on him. That's one thing that Art Briles did not do a very good job of. You can't be all 125 places with every one of your players 24 hours a day when you're a college coach. But the things that he did, I think, things that went on under his leadership were problematic. So he has coached his last day in college. But as far as what he's getting now at Mount Vernon High School, I'm perfectly okay with him continuing his career.
Well, we'll continue to disagree with one another on this topic. I happen to think that if provided his age at 63 years old, I think somebody will give Art Briles a second chance to coach college football. And then for the what you're saying about having your son or him playing for him as a high school student, that's fine. I get it. But my job, as I mentioned, is not to keep an eye on my son once he's out of my household or he's going to college. I've got to trust in everything that I've instilled in him that he knows the difference between right and wrong. So I don't have to hold his hand, whether it's in high school or in college. Once he's old enough, I've done enough along the way that I can trust that my son knows the difference between right and wrong, and he's not going to go out and harm anyone.
It's going to be interesting as well if you're a parent having a conversation with the coach saying, you know, how proactive are you being and maybe rectifying your past and making up for it? What steps are you taking to educating these young men that you're in charge of in high school and whether it be in college in the future to make sure that what happened under your watch doesn't happen again? So a lot to be seen there, and certainly we'll be following his track there at Mount Vernon there in Texas. So reminder, we are just a few weeks away not only from high school football, but the first college football game on ACC Network. It's Clemson and Georgia Tech. Thursday, August 29th at 8 o'clock Eastern in Death Valley, only on ACC Network. Visit GetACCN.com to check for providers in your area. If you don't see your provider listed, contact them to demand they carry ACC Network. Up next, a lot of people saying Texas is back. Andre and Greg might have another word for Texas. We'll do some word association straight ahead. It's College Football Live. All right, time now for a little word association here on College Football Live. I'll give you a word or phrase. You tell me the word associated with it. You know, recently Tom Herman, the Texas head coach, said Texas is the Mecca of college football. Other people saying Texas is back. Let's come up with a different word here. Andre, you start. Texas is what?
It's a mystery. A mystery to why there isn't more success each and every year at the University of Texas. When you look at them, I think it's the best job in not only college football, but all of football. The resources, where they are geographically, the recruiting bed that they can reach north, south, east, and west. And yet every year we have to say, is Texas back?
They're underachieving. If they are the Mecca of college football, how can you possibly justify just one national championship since 1970? 50 years, guys. And by the way, they need to just think about owning their own rivalry. Oklahoma, for instance, in that same time frame, 4 national championships. So if they're the Mecca of college football, they got some serious work to do when it comes to bringing home a national championship.
Yeah, I unfortunately took that a little too literally. Big. It's a huge state. Takes 2 days to drive across, and I apologize for that. Let's go to USC now. They hire Graham Harrell as the offensive coordinator, Andre. They've moved to the air raid. USC adopting the air raid is what?
I think it's desperate.
Yep.
When you go 5-7 and your job's on the line, and you're Clay Helton, you're going to try just about anything you can to win football games. You've recruited to a certain system each and every year for the last 4 years. It's supposed to be quarterback you. They might like it. The quarterbacks for sure will like it, Greg.
It's mind-blowing to me to think that the SC that I grew up with in the early 2000s with Carson and Leinart and Reggie and all these incredible players, they were a pro-style multiple style offense with a quarterback under center, NFL running back, long wide receivers on the outside, multiple tight ends on the field, depending on what the down and distance was. Like, the fact that they have adopted the system of today is insane to me. So I'll be curious to see how it works out. It clearly is a desperation move for Clay Helton to make sure that they get this thing back on track.
Well, they finished 9th in the Pac-12 in scoring offense, so you got to do something, and they are certainly doing something. All right, speaking of adopting, Texas A&M, the Unity Council, has adopted a policy that the team will stay off of all social media for the duration of fall camp. Andre, no social media for the rest of fall camp. That is what? Give me a word.
Smart. I love it. I absolutely love it. because it's going to force guys to focus on the job at hand, you know, working through camp. There are no distractions whatsoever. You're just focusing on football and learning the offense and defense and then putting everything you have into what needs to be accomplished for the 2019 season.
Huh? No social media? I'm 18 to 22. The only thing I've ever known is social media. I can't pick up the phone and talk to one of my friends or one of my teammates. I have to tweet at him or send a direct message. There's no way that this is going to be something that these guys can wrap their head around. Then again, it is smart, and I appreciate it knowing that they have an expectation of what they're trying to focus in on during the fall camp. But my reaction initially, if Jimbo Fisher were to present it, if I'm 18 to 22, how do we talk to people?
What is this interacting you speak of? I don't know how to do that. By the way, Clemson, all social media off limits for the entire season, and it seems to have worked for them the last 8 or so years they've been doing that, two of the last 3 national championships. All right, next one. This is the 150th season of college football. Andre, the 150th season of CFB is what? Give me a word. Scribbling.
Writing it now as we speak. Writing. Exciting. How about that? Exciting. A lot of excitement in this season in college football, the 150th year. I think there's going to be a lot of great football games played this year and a lot of tradition built on what's already been established. This will be a fun year to kind of see what's in store.
Well, this is going to be exciting. It always is, but I'm going chalky. I interpret it as, all right, what's this season going to look like? Are there going to be some surprises? I don't see any, guys. It feels like the usual suspects are going to be in the running for another national championship. Same teams are going to be trying to get to the playoff yet again this year. So I'm not expecting a lot of surprises this year. So I'm going chalky the way I describe this upcoming season.
How about this? It starts August 24th. It ends January 13th. This is a long, long season, but it'll be fun. There's no such thing as too much college football. All right. It'd be interesting to see if it's chalky in terms of the Heisman. Usually it's a quarterback award. Andre, you would know that. How about a non-quarterback Heisman winner is? Give me a word, Andre.
Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin, a running back. Still on the offensive side, though, Matt. But you talk about a guy that went over 2,000 yards as a freshman last year, right at over 1,900 yards. He's got 3 offensive linemen returning to Wisconsin. They're going to obviously feature Jonathan Taylor. He could have one heck of a year and then finish the season with a Heisman Trophy.
It'd be welcomed. Because don't get me wrong, quarterback, difficult position to play, get all the credit, get all the blame. I think that quarterback is definitely the toughest position to play. But at what point are we going to open up the Heisman consideration to defensive players? Running backs are obvious. They still get consideration. But defensive guys, several years, in the last 5 or 6 years, we've seen capable defensive players that haven't even been invited to New York. Quinnen Williams last year at Alabama, tell me he wasn't one of the most dominant players in college football? He absolutely was. So I would love to see something mixed up when it comes to the Heisman Trophy and to see some defensive love that those guys get at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I think the only way it happens is if you shrink the voter pool from like a billion to like 15 and have like a committee.
Yeah. We've had defensive players win it.
Yeah, we had some non-quarterbacks win it in the 1990s. All right. Finally, Michigan State unveiling its alternate uniforms. The reviews weren't great. Hit a little lime green in it. Andre, these alternate uniforms are? Give me a word for these.
Flat out ugly.
Oh, man.
Just ugly. This looks like something I could design in my garage, myself and put it together. A little needle, some thread, a couple of numbers. I could put this one together. That's ugly.
I'm going distorted. Those jerseys look like they were about this big, and then you put them on someone that's the size of a college football player, so they expanded. Therefore, the word state got enormous, and the number got enormous. It just looks odd. So distorted is how I would describe that unique color combination. Don't get away from your true greens. Those are unbelievable. I'm disappointed by this uniform.
Those uniforms were built for the nearsighted, so there's maybe a small part of the population that will like those. We'll see when they bust those out coming up this season. Before the season starts, you need help with your fantasy football. Monday on ESPN, 6 Eastern, we'll kick off our 4th annual fantasy football marathon with 28 straight hours of coverage. All the fantasy insight to get you ready for your season. Coverage also on ESPN2, and as always, streaming live on the app. Oh, can't stop me now. Quarterback competitions rage on, including at Auburn. It's a battle of inexperienced quarterbacks. True freshman Bo Nix, redshirt freshman Joey Gatewood. Both were top 40 prospects in the respective classes. Both have a shot at the job to replace Jarrett Stidham. Greg McElroy, how much will inexperience at the quarterback position limit the Tigers' ceiling this season?
They can still do everything they want to accomplish because they're going to lean so heavily on the run game. Gus Malzahn's back calling the plays, so I expect them to shift more from a passing offense from what they were the last couple of years to now a really run-focused physical offense at tempo. So it's going to be interesting to see that transition.
Yeah, I think it could hurt a lot, and especially early in the season. The quarterback position is everything in Gus Malzahn's offense. When you look at what happened with Jeremy Johnson a few years ago and they got out to a bad start, they stumbled out of the gate, it was just kind of lingered the entire season for the Auburn Tigers. So I think inexperience at that position could certainly hurt them.
Yeah, Jartavius Whitlow and that core of running backs coached by Cadillac Williams certainly going to be their best friend as they head into that opener, as you said, against Oregon. Let's end with this. Mike Leach, talk about peer pressure. Is players at Washington State forcing them to do the belly flop? And there he goes, Andre.
Oh, my goodness. Put a shirt on, Coach. Cover that up. You got to go to the pool now.
When he just jumped right off the side of the pool, I saw a diving board like 3 feet to his left. Why didn't he go off the diving board, right? Just to amp it up a little bit.
That might hurt too much.
As far as what the pain tolerance looks like.
needs some advice from Mark Richt on how to do that. Go straight off the high dive. Enjoy the Ocho on Wednesday. We're back on Thursday, 4 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. Thanks for watching.